This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To make $18 million.
Boom.
What are we talking about?
There you go.
That's generational already. And he's going to get every penny of that because he's a good player. And he's young and he's, you know, white. I mean, it's just the truth. So
He's white.
You're
on a rookie scale. You don't get more in this case because you're white.
I would never suggest that.
No, it's going to be about where he goes.
It's just it's the next one,
that's
right?
What it sounded like.
It's the next one.
What?
He's going to, you know, you get the white tax comes in on the next one.
Yeah, and he could be maybe the next Austin Reeves.
He could be.
Is he? No, he can't be. Austin Reeves is good.
Austin Reeves
got to a point where he's good.
Bro, Austin Reeves is,
I know, when Mark Spears was like, Austin Reeves,
I was kind of
like, bro, he's good now.
That was when,
Austin, you know, Reeves,
we talked about
it.
My hit rate earlier in the show.
What? Way off.
That's definitely.
He's wide.
We need to get that as a drop.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely...
Exactly. You bring it up so often.
I don't bring up race. I don't see race.
You play the race card. It's just the white one.
Well, you know, it's
nice. A lot of other people do it with the black.
It's a change, you know?
Austin Butler kind of screwed the pooch on the drop, though, because it's like there's the music overlay at the end of the clip. So it kind of tarnishes the...
That's Tom Hanks, right?
It's Tom Hanks. Yeah, it's the Colonel.
Yeah, the Austin Butler is...
He's Elvis in that.
Yeah,
thing.
He's...
This was the Colonel.
Follow us, follow Dune on TikTok. That's how
he's
I know.
Lying.
That's how I know.
So it's signed, sealed, delivered for you. If the Grizzlies are picking seven, you take Reed Shepard and not Stephon Castle out of UConn.
Yeah.
Who they've got? Gavoni's got going, and then with the next pick to
Correct.
The Utah Jazz.
Yes.
Why? Why Reed over Stephon Castle? To explain.
The biggest thing is that he's just
John's
a little
pointing.
Bit, no, I'm not, bro. No, that don't say that, bro. That was for you. That was not. That was for you.
I look to you for your college basketball insight. I'm looking for serious answers only.
No, I think he's a little bit more ready. I think he's a little bit more ready as a prospect for the Grizzlies, as opposed to I think Stephon Castle is going to take some time. Stephon Castle couldn't shoot. He had no...
That is the knock on him.
Right. He could not be reliable from deep, and the Grizzlies need... shooting to replace Luke Kennard, who, as people have said, is going to command more money than probably the Grizzlies are willing to give him. So you need to have somebody that can consistently, dependably, not only shoot threes, take threes, make threes, but also give you some versatility. Backup point guard to Ja can kind of maybe give somebody a spell off of that, right? Could be your third guard, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Can play off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He could play with Ja. He could play. It'd be undersized, but he could play with Ja as well. Like Chris Paul has played with Steph and off ball. Like I'm not saying he's Chris Paul. I'm just saying smaller lineups can in some situations.
You like
work.
Him at point guard as a backup point guard more because I'd be in. That was the thing you needed from Kennard, but he couldn't do.
Yes.
You like him more as a backup point guard
yes.
than Castle at 6'4" ish
yes.
as a backup point guard
for the Grizzlies.
A guy who can play
yes.
combo and be behind
for the Grizzlies.
Okay. The one thing I don't disagree with what you're saying about Reed Shepard. In fact, that's kind of where I was, that he'd be a great pick. I just throw back at you with Castle. You see in his breakdown, too, regarded as one of the best defensive players in the draft. And so remember, Luke Kennard, the shooter he was, as good as he was, come playoff time, what was he? He's a minus because you couldn't play him on the defensive end of the floor. And so that's the thing about Reed Shepard, right? I need you to be at least an average defender. Because we've seen three-point shooting get played off the floor in the playoffs.
Yep.
Because you're so bad defensively. I'd like you to be great at both, obviously. Is Reed Sheppard good enough on both sides? With Castle, is he a guy that can develop a shot? Because I know defensively, I'm getting more from his body, number one, but I know defensively he's one of the best guys around, and he fits what I do. He fits our culture in terms of a defensive guy that I don't have to worry about being a liability on that end of the floor if we ever got to the playoffs with him, is the point. And if he can play backup point guard for me, I just think at one point I looked at Stamon Castle, I said, well, the man can't shoot. And, of course, you need shooting on this Grizzlies team. It's something you've always needed, especially if you're losing Luke Kennard. But the idea that I could possibly use Stephon Castle in more places, perhaps, and is he a guy that can develop a three, I mean, I think it's worth, you know, a debate at this point. I'm kind of now, I was all on Reed Sheppard, but now I kind of wonder if I can use Stephon Castle in more places and he fits my culture better. Can he develop a shot? Maybe so. Well, you know what I'm saying? We once wondered that about Vince Williams, and we're still trying to find out about Vince. But he shot the ball well this season. Can he develop that? You know, that's why I'd say Castle with the body and everything else, I would say he fits more.
Right.
Right, with today's NBA and with that size, and especially as a defender. So I wonder now if it's not a bigger question, you know, with throwing that back at you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's
something to think about, at least
fair,
to chew on, yeah.
But I'm pretty...
You're still Reed Sheppard.
I visualize it.
Exactly.
No.
That's the part you can see the best, is the skin.
No, that's not going to be my first thing when I'm coming into the war room and saying that this player is white, we have to draft him. It's going to be
the second
thing. I
mean, you are losing Luke, and you do. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You might want to go white for white.
Right. Because we have to say, well, what about our Collierville season ticket holders? Huh?
Yeah. Especially if you're losing Luke, who they love out in Collierville.
They're raising taxes in Memphis.
I mean, it might factor into the decision for real.
Yeah. No, I don't know. No, I just think he's a better player for right now.
No, I was interested. I mean, you've covered these guys and watched them closely all year long. So the idea of both of them sort of in that maybe backup point guard, but, you know, can be a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, which one checks more boxes?
Now,
I wonder if Castle might check more, even though right now he's got the knock on him as a bad shooter.
Not for the Grizzlies' timeline,
okay,
I don't think.
Okay.
Not saying he won't be a better pro or can't be a better pro for his career, but I just think for what the Grizzlies
are. He's vaulted up because of their run.
The Grizzlies are trying to win a championship in the next 3 years, right?
Yes.
I think Reed's readier in 3 years than Stephon Castle will be. For what the Grizzlies
need. Are you going to play defense in a playoff game?
That's
what I'm concerned about.
I think so.
Can he be tough Austin
Reed?
Like,
he's like a bowling ball.
I mean, again,
ball.
You don't have to be a plus defender. Just be Austin Reed has shown.
I think he's a better defender than Luke Kennard. I think he's a better defender.
Well, he has to be.
Yeah, I think he has to.
That shooting didn't matter.
He's a better playmaker than Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard probably got him on the shot, but he does everything else better than Luke. There's no doubt in my mind.
Cool.
I mean, Luke, what was Luke? Luke was a second-round pick, or was he a lottery?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I don't recall. He's a lottery pick, but I don't think
pick 12, yeah.
I don't think that, you know, they're close in terms of the whole package. I'm much higher on Reed than I am Luke.
Yeah.
I think if the Grizzlies picked him at 7, I would celebrate it. I think it would be a great selection.
Oh, at one time I was completely down, and probably still am. I still think it'd end up being a good pick.
Yeah, I mean, South Haven, DeSoto County would rejoice. You know, it's like, you know, that's where everybody's moving now. You know, you got to think about it. I mean, Paul Young's like, please don't leave. Then he wants to raise taxes.
What's weird is Jeff touched on it, and it hit home because I've talked to at least one fan. They're moving to Texas.
Uh-huh.
Folks are moving to Texas right now out of this area.
Where would you move?
Where would I move? Oh, I'm happy to. I'm going to do what Paul asked.
You don't live in Memphis. You live in Chicago.
They're moving to Texas.
Dude, I'm in the middle of Memphis, even though it's Cordova Club over there, okay?
But you don't pay Memphis
City
taxes.
It's the middle of Memphis, though.
You don't pay Memphis City taxes?
I do not.
So
I have no opinion.
I'm the only person on this show that pays Memphis City taxes. I don't, actually.
I was about to say. No, you don't.
You were trying to think. Like,
I
maybe
was figuring that out.
No, I've used it against you. That's
you
why you have no vote.
But now Germantown's talking about raising their taxes. Oh, no, they're
bro,
talking
bro, they're high already.
Let utility. Me tell you, he's
utility.
His property tax is going up. He's talking about city. That's not county. He's asking for a property tax hike?
Yes.
That's the city tax. So, no, it actually wouldn't.
So, you don't pay that.
Actually, I'd be lucky. I'm only paying county, even though I'm in the middle of Cordova.
We do not pay Memphis City taxes.
Most of Cordova does, though. We're just in that little weird unincorporated part.
You got a nice area there.
We need to keep laying. I don't need to say
nothing,
really, before he incorporates
me. I'm literally 2 minutes away from Memphis. Like, I'm literally like,
yeah.
I mean, I can walk.
My brother's 5 minutes away, but he's in the city in Cordova.
Right, right, right.
It's just a little circle in there.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it looks sucks for you guys. Everybody needs.
Anyway, I'm staying.
Yeah,
well, even though I'm kind of in the middle of Memphis, but not in.
But
Memphis,
he's not talking
weirdly.
To us. We've left. He ain't talking to us.
Not really.
I haven't.
You left. I'm not in a suburb.
You don't pay taxes.
Most of Cordova still is, but I'm Cordova. Most of it is.
If you don't pay taxes in Memphis,
I didn't leave, though.
You left.
Dude, it's weird. I did that out in Raleigh. I was in the middle of Raleigh, but I was in unincorporated, and so it was just Shelby County, and I'm in the same thing in the middle of Cordova,
right.
But in this weird, little weird unincorporated part.
You know,
like,
where
I could throw a rock to Raleigh Egypt High School, which is plenty
well,
city.
Well, then send in your taxes then
send
for
your
Memphis.
Taxes, yeah.
He hasn't asked for them from me again.
Oh, he will.
We're not incorporated, fool. Hey, we have managed to fight it off.
Our old boss, Dan Barron, started this by moving to Louisiana.
He did.
People are moving.
Even I never thought Dan Barron would move. And when I saw Dan Barron move, I'm like, damn, people are moving.
People are moving, and it's hard. It's hard to blame them.
What?
It's hard to blame people for, you know, I mean, Memphis has been.
It's crime and education, is it not?
In terms of the, again.
It's a cycle of things, but
yeah.
That's
part of the reason why she's moving. There's more opportunity for her in Texas. She's uprooted, and she probably wouldn't mind me saying it, but she's got elementary school kids and who love where they're at and everything else, but there's more opportunity for her in Texas. And, yes, she doesn't want them caught up in the mess that is Memphis right now. I mean, has anybody seen the fight over at Tresvant that's on Facebook right now? Like, that's what we're facing. You got kids that ain't scared. They're fearless, and they're calling out the coaches and everything else, putting these cops ain't helping in this case. He's just kind of, the security guard there is kind of watching. And the adult teacher there is forced to almost fight this kid. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it is in our city schools, Shelby County and city school system. It's crazy every day in some of these spots. Now, that's not to say there aren't still great spots. White Station, everything else, there are plenty of schools. White Haven is doing great things under Principal Hunter over there. But we have got too many war zones up in here.
Yes.
And so I don't fault anybody right now, although it's great what Paul Young's saying. I don't fault anybody right now for saying, you know what, my child's safer elsewhere.
Especially
if you can't afford a private school route or something else.
Absolutely.
To get out to the municipalities or the county schools.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. We have got to do something about the school system right now. I'm watching that teacher not have any choice but to fight this kid who was all up in his face, swinging on him and everything else. The security guard's right there. But where's the protection in terms of teachers shouldn't be put in that position? My wife's over there, and again, she ain't at the high school, but she's right across the road, and she's facing the same thing where the kids are cursing out the principals because they don't fear nothing. There's no cost. Nothing's going to happen. They'll get kicked out. They'll get put back in somewhere else. Ugh. And so it's crazy, man.
It is crazy.
Told you, 13-year-old girl stole my niece's car from the Malco.
A 13-year-old?
Yes, and then goes out and joyrides. It hits cops with the car, wrecks it out. We're thinking it's some man or something trying to cut. This is a 13-year-old that's done it. I was talking about it with Jeff last on Friday. A 13-year-old girl, like our teenager, the guys that shot the cop that we just lost. You know, 17 and 18 years old.
That's awful.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. And so it's the folk, we're just wilding out. So again, back to the point. I get Paul Young's. You know, he's saying stay, bro. We got to fix what we got.
Yeah.
Because again, it's safer elsewhere. Especially for our kids. So that's why I want to stay. I want to be part of fixing this thing and raising up to this urgency level. You talked about the urgency level need to be like COVID with crime. We need it within our school system, too. Like, again, because that's where, you know, you're going to help these kids find a passion, help them find a career, whatever else, and get them on a better track than what they're on right now in that Memphis and Shelby County school system. It's hard, man. And me are products of it.
Yeah, man.
Like, we came out okay. There's folks at White Haven getting scholarships. You see the story from, you know, millions of dollars in scholarships. We got plenty getting out. But we got too many of them that we can save that we're not. And they'd rather be in these streets right now than in school, man. We gotta pour more in. Again, it's easier said than done, but we got to make it more of a priority.
Look, I could not say it that better myself. I mean, it's a crossroads, so to speak.
Dude, the teachers are scared.
Yeah.
Like, what are they, and they're told not to hit back.
Right. I mean, that video you sent me today was just.
They're explained from their principals to do not hit back, and that's where security's supposed to come in for you and protect you and everything else. Man, security ain't getting that kid up off that 17, 18-year-old kid that's got no fear up off that teacher. And so you see it in the video, man. The guy's forced into a defensive position, and he's getting swung on.
100%.
And so if my security guard ain't breaking it up, how am I not to – you're telling me not to fight back? Just take this ass-whooping from this teenager? Like, what kind of position are we putting them in?
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And it's heartbreaking. you know, because first of all, the security guard, the officer there, whatever,
way too slow to jump on it. And I understand they're, you know, but these are kids.
Your job is to intervene.
This is your job, man, and you're letting this teacher get whooped.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Exactly.
And it's frankly, did you see the rest of the class gets riled up?
Yes.
Teachers are getting pushed around. It's not just the two of them. Like, it threatens to start a riot up in that thing. It's crazy.
Exactly. You know, so
just out of control, man.
I mean, I it's all around. It's a hard job, man. It's a hard job for anybody, right? For the mayor. I respect what and appreciate what he said, you know. I think it's a tough sell to say don't leave, and then, you know, we're going to increase, cuz people are fundamentally, right, they're jaded. They don't believe that even if you raise taxes, that anything is going to change. They don't believe that those tax dollars are going to go to something that will improve the condition of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame them.
Sure.
I don't blame them. You know, you have...
And Memphis is paying some pretty stiff property taxes as it is.
Exactly. You know, and this is not a rich city. It's just not. And so I empathize, but I would ask, like, you know, man, you don't have enough, you know? Like... It's like Memphis Athletics going to the same boosters every time, right?
Yeah.
At some point, you got to just make it work with what you have, and figure it out. But it's not easy to do that. I understand that. Like it's probably not that simple, because this issue is so damn, you know. It's a cycle. It's not, oh, we have a crime problem. Well, we don't just have a crime problem. We have a poverty problem. Right, we have a poverty problem, which means we have an education problem, which means we have a crime problem, which means we have a poverty problem.
Mm-hmm. It's cyclical,
you know. Yeah. And it's like, you know,
you don't break it.
And we talked about this with Willie Harrington on the show, you know, when he was running. That it's almost like we skip over, you know, the preambles almost to what causes these things, which is education. We don't, and now the Memphis City school system is asking for $25 million. They're probably not going to get it, is what I would assume. And it's just like, we just sort of like, we scoff over it, and then we wonder, like, what happened?
Well, this is
what happened. You stopped investing, and you stopped giving these schools resources.
Necessary on so many fronts.
Yeah, and these kids don't go to school.
We're not just talking about test scores.
I mean, dude, how many?
We're talking about security. We're talking about a lot, you know, a lot that they need at this point.
Look at all the bad, negative headlines that Memphis is.
They raises for our teachers, because what we're asking them to be, freaking security guard slash teacher
didn't the state of Tennessee just pass the
slash
bill
guidance counselor? I mean, we're asking so much of our teachers in that, specifically in that system.
Does nobody see the potential issue with teachers carrying a firearm, like? In Tennessee schools, does nobody like see how south that could go? I mean, you send me that video.
Mm-hmm.
What if that teacher had a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Would he have shot the kid? The kid have shot him?
Certainly would have had a situation where he could have pulled it out.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're not considering like how, like,
if that teacher had passed this course that they're saying you got to go through and everything else to you know, get your license to be able to carry.
Like,
I find it scary. I do. But again, you know, times have changed since you and I were in school. I'm not telling you I'm voting for that. Again, I'd tell you this is probably a bad idea, but it is now, John. You know, there are some of these places that are more like war zones. And if it's going to be if that teacher who's got a concealed weapon is, you know, that security guard didn't do a dang thing. It didn't seem like in this case, the instance I'm talking about over Tresman, he didn't do anything. And so if a kid knows, hey, I'm messing with a teacher, you know, that's armed, you know. And that teacher's responsible enough. That's preventative. If that's a deterrent,
yeah.
But again, to me, it feels like too much responsibility on a teacher. You know, and again, I'd hate to see what happened. Okay, a teacher could pass a test, get a license. That doesn't mean they're in a good mental state or whatever else. You can have situations where what if they just decide to pull the damn thing out and there's an accident.
Exactly.
So yes, that's why it seems like a bad idea to me. But I will say, I'll say all that.
It's like a horrible
times have changed now too, to where. You know, maybe in some of these cases you could use, if you're not going to get security and help and, you know, from your school system, then, you know, maybe helping yourself is the best way.
I mean, I guess.
In some of these instances.
But we just.
You'd like to think it wouldn't have to come to that, but literally it's coming to those kinds of decisions every day in our school system. This school system. I say our because we're a product of it.
Right, exactly.
But I will raise my hand. I do not have my child in it.
Right. right.
for many of those reasons.
Well, I mean, I can't say I blame you, bro. I mean, it's not like people are trying to move to, you know, part of the reason why we moved out of East Memphis was because we were zoned for the schools would have been like, I think, Overton. Nothing against Overton. I don't want to send my kid to Overton, you know? I don't want to send my kid to Memphis City Schools, unless it's White Station, quite frankly. And I don't even know then. I don't even know what to say to that. But the point I was going to make is if you look at all the negative headlines that have happened in Memphis over the last 2 to 3 years, like really since COVID, it feels like it's just gone nuts, right?
It's definitely gone to another level.
It's kids. It's kids.
Yeah, I know.
It's not 35-year-olds going on rampages, you know? It's not 75-year-olds. It's 17. The kid last weekend, 18 and 17.
Yes.
The dude, I don't remember his name, Zeke, 18, that went on the rampage. You know what I'm saying? It's all kids who were failed for one reason or another by the education system, you know, who they didn't come out of that. Couldn't have, you know? And they are probably living in poverty, you know? Parents probably, you know, didn't emphasize education because education wasn't emphasized for them. How the hell are you going to emphasize something that wasn't emphasized for you? I don't know the difference, right?
Mm.
So it's just that was my life, that's your life. That's the way it goes. It's generational. It almost always is. And so until we truly fix, and I'm 10 toes down on this, until we fix education in Memphis, you ain't fixing nothing else. It ain't possible. You can throw all the police you want, give them all the new vehicles and all the stuff and whatever. It didn't matter this weekend. Cop showed up, responded. He got shot and killed.
Three of them got shot.
Yeah, three of them. Three of them were shot. Unfortunately, one was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So more police presence, is that going to fix the problem? I don't think it's going to fix the problem. You know, we have to have a generation, because it feels like we lost one, sadly. We got to have a generation that is educated, that has ambition, that feels like things are possible, that has aspirations. We don't have that. We don't have that by and large in our community. And until we do, and I think that comes with, you know, investment.
Right.
It just does. It's, nobody wants to do it. You know why nobody wants to do it? Because it's not sexy and it's not instant. You're not going to see the returns on investment into education tomorrow, okay, or the next day, or the next day after that. You're going to see it in 10 years, though. You're going to see it in 15 years, though, when graduation rates go up, when crime goes down, when you're not seeing these headlines of 17- and 18-year-olds killing each other, killing cops. I guarantee you, it just takes time, and people don't want to do that. Don't raise my taxes for things I might not even be around to see the benefits of. But it's bigger than that, bro. It's got to be bigger than that. You know, we're talking about our city, our community. You know, the legacy, a legacy is about planting seeds of plants that you won't get to see grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do that. You got to do that. And if you keep saying, "Oh, no, we'll just invest in the police and we'll just keep in the brute force of it all," right? It's not going to yield you the results. If you ignore the root, it ain't going to get you the results that you're looking for. And so I'm hopeful that, like, as part of this, we can divert some money. You know, I hope that the school system gets some money and that we can start attacking it at the root. Otherwise, we're just going to be on this path to nowhere.
Same cycle, yeah.
In Memphis. All right, we'll come back. Norton Hurd the Fourth is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about what he's got going on in the spring with his team. Get his thoughts on Cal and Arkansas. Maybe a little Billy Richmond. All that and more on the other side. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
Bet the NBA play-in tournament with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel. Doesn't matter if you're new in this case or if you've already got an account. It applies to both. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay does not win on tonight's matchup. So NBA same game parlay is a perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. Make a little play in action. Turn a couple of bucks into a tank of gas, however you want to play. Just head to FanDuel.com/JSmith to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Again, that is FanDuel.com/JSMITH. They make it easy. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA and of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And on IG at I am Coach Herr. Coach Herr, we figured it was coming that you'd have to be out on the road for a lot of these hits. Isn't it, this is your season, is it not? Y'all just had an event this past weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, it's getting into that time, man, that it's pretty much go time. Yeah, we played last weekend, warm-up tournament here at the event center. It was pretty good, hoop scene, and then we go on the radar this weekend, and then, you know, EYBL Memphis, which would be huge for not only us, the whole city, community. I think the economics was really, really good for that last year. It was an impact. I remember you and John saying how many millions. That snuck back up on us. It's next weekend, so everything is kind of in the flow now.
In terms of, real quick, because I'm not going to ask you to go down the list player for player, but you had one of the EYBL's best teams last year in terms of prospects, in terms of you guys' seeding, in terms of what you've got this year and what your expectations are. I'm imagining the expectations haven't changed in terms of the comparison of the two teams. How does it look, Coach, just from a, you know, bird's eye view for us?
On paper, last year's team looks a lot better.
Okay.
But in the gym, you know, this is the type of team I love to coach. You know, of course, we got Jasper. He top 10. We got Big J Mar. 6'10", he'll be a top 75, 50-ish type player. And everybody else are really some kids that's kind of like the Chandler Jackson group. They're going to blow up and some borderline top 100, some mid, and some guys going to go high. But they play well together. They play hard. And I'm excited about this team. I like these type of teams.
Interesting. Yeah, we're talking to Norton Herr, joins us every single Wednesday here on the show. In terms of like this, the everything starting up and getting into full swing, does it feel – you know, just as exciting as it, you know, has in the past when it was like all the coaches come out and everything is like a big event, or does it change at all? Like, just from your perspective, like, is it different today than it was 7, 8, 9 years ago?
Yeah, it's still always exciting, John and Jason, because you got a new crop of kids that you're helping accomplish a goal. You know, more and more things, you know, with technology, you have to keep evolving. So it's a bit different. But for me personally, it kind of snuck up faster. And I had some, you know, so much work to do this year that, you know, I've been ripping and running, kind of even getting tired. And I don't get tired because even this weekend we play, I got to try to get out of there. We play in Atlanta and head to New York because, you know, last year's team was so good. We got three kids in the Jordan Brand game, and they bringing that back for the first time this year at the Barclays Center. So it just feel like it's just nonstop ripping and running right now.
Herr, I'm just going to pull back the curtain. John is concerned about what Penny Hardaway's brought in so far. And I know that you don't have time these days, especially as EYBL gets rolling, to pay attention to every single, you know, prospect that he's bringing in, but you know the need. We've talked about it with you. Got a bunch of open scholars. I think the last one, you know, Colby Rogers coming up from Wichita State, great shooter. But John's point is that if you get all these AAC guys, right, yeah, they were good in some cases losing situations. Is it going to be enough to move the needle nationally? I think that's the gist of John's concerns. I think they're fair concerns. Just I'd say all that to ask you, what have you thought so far of the P.J. Haggerty, Dane Danger you're bringing in, and now Colby Rogers, what Penny's brought in so far?
Colby Rogers, the Wichita kid, is solid, but the first two he brought, I think, was big-time hits. The Tulsa kid and the, what's the other kid?
Dane Danger, the big from Illinois, the backup big.
Okay. Well, yeah, the Tulsa thing was major. I'm going to say that. That was major. I think some very, very high-level guys. So I think we get one more kid like the Tulsa kid, then I think we do good. But I think the Tulsa kid is going, because every time we get an AAC kid, I was saying that, 3 weeks ago, we got Kendrick Davis, and then who did we get last year at the AAC? Like, usually we do good with them type of kids. And I will say this about the AAC. I know y'all share the point I'm about to bring up now. Y'all do know that kid that just killed it with UConn came out of AAC. So I think the AAC is a really competitive conference that has some hidden diamonds and stuff in it.
Yeah, well, he's been there for a couple
Tristan
of years.
Tristan Newton, but, that's who you're talking about.
But that is definitely that would be the best case is that, you know, you turn it. But or you could be Jaylon Young, who came from the AAC and is now in Vermont. He has been banished to Vermont.
Heard they say, Jaquan say he got another year.
You know what? I hadn't talked to him this week. I saw that online somewhere, and then somebody said it wasn't true, so I didn't look into it. I know if he came out in that 2020 year, they can use another COVID year because that's Morrell year, but I think Quan was a year before Morrell, though, because I played Morrell. So I'm not sure.
Can you enter the transfer portal?
In the portal, but with zero eligibility.
Right. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, you put your name in, is what I heard.
Does it not, like, spit you right back out?
I mean, you can enter the bank with zero in your bank account. That don't mean you leaving none out, you know, out of there with anything.
Do you think he might say his year at Memphis was like a medical red shirt? Do you think there's a chance he could maybe do that? Or do you think he played in too many games? I might try to say that my mental health was impacted. I need another year.
I mean, people don't play about that these days.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. That's heard. And John over here smiling. Again, heard. If you saw his face, you'd know that. Yeah. But we don't play with that kind of stuff, do we?
No, they don't play about that. So that definitely could get. But I would hope somebody don't take advantage of that either, though. But
we would never want that to happen.
He played in quite a lot of games, right? I'm off or whatever.
He did. You know, we're just trying to get our man another shot somewhere, you know. I mean, I want the best for young men. I want young men to, you know, have opportunities. So,
Herd, let me ask you something. How much NIL, roundabout, could a guy like your former player, Jaden Quaintance, command in this market today, having decommitted from Kentucky? Saw he had the Louisville visit. Like a guy like that, man, you know, what do you think the going rate is on a five-star McDonald's All-American? Heck, he was in the Hoop Summit too, wasn't he? I mean, he's the highest of the high, yep. Right, Herd? What is a guy like that, what can he command?
I mean, it will start off, I mean, some of those conversations at that level starting off around three, and some of them has went as high as a million. It just depends on where you at, who needs you, this and that. Now, honestly, some coaches, no matter how high five-star you are, I ain't going to say coaches because coaches are not the one doing it, but some companies or whoever they're doing NIL for are not willing for a high school kid to go over by three. Those anything over three, they kind of want to get a proven transfer.
Yep. Makes sense.
They think that's what that when you start getting the 4, 5, 6, and there's not even many people getting that, they just would rather it be a guy that's proven some program.
I saw somebody say on Twitter yesterday that who was it that committed? Ballo. Umar Ballo. Yeah, $1.2 million asking, but he didn't get that, right? I mean, that's unlikely, you think?
Yeah, I would think so. A big man, well, bigs do mean something in college. Ooh, I heard Indiana got a really good NIL package, though. I have heard that the last
Indiana
couple
does?
Years. Yeah, I have heard that, though. Yeah, that they have a pretty good, you know, a good system with their boosters or whatever like that. So, but 1.2, ooh, that's, I'm not sure. But, I mean, well, they got a good fan base. I didn't hear some of these blue bloods, you know, if you're from that state and stuff, they was able to do that, you know, some guys and got some good stuff close to a million, but but then on the flip side, too, y'all, it's also, and I'm not going to throw no names out there, you know what? Some people haven't jumped in the portal yet because they waiting to get their last checks and stuff, or they've been owed for a couple months certain stuff either. So it's some bad and good to some of these stories you're hearing about. Like, some people are like, they ain't got paid since Christmas, ain't got paid since January, February. So it's a turn of events with some of this.
I'd be on that porch like Debo. You know what I'm saying? I'm cut my check. All right? No, it's too late now. You ain't getting that one, player. You ain't getting it. Hey, that's when you got to go to the coach's office in January and be like, I'll transfer so fast. Supreme Court got my back. I'll transfer. I'll be on a new roster tomorrow with the Supreme Court ruling. I do want to ask you, Mark Pope is the man at Kentucky. He gets the job coming over from BYU. His first commitment, not a five-star, not a McDonald's All-American, not a lottery pick, a Mormon who hasn't played basketball in 2 years. Is this going to go well, you think, for him at Kentucky?
You know what? I want to give it some time. I would say I see what Kentucky did there, and I think the people of Kentucky really want him to be successful, and it sounds crazy. I actually think they might even do more for him than they did for Cal NIL, which I know that sounds crazy.
No, you're right on NIL because they're going to your point. They're going to have to help him more than they were doing. They were telling Cal, go out and do it yourself. But you're right. They're going to have to help Pope. I think you're absolutely right on that.
Yeah, I think because he kind of like from there and one of their own, they probably could like, they're going to do it. And then you know how it is when you're in a new relationship. They want to make sure that they was right and this made sense. So I think they're going to try to do it. And Kentucky are a great school, so I think they're going to get some good players. I'm a little nervous about the level they want to be at consistently just because I know they say the AD was totally against hiring, like, Bruce Pearl and Chris Britt after Sky Drew turned down. I think he might have been too prideful on that, okay, or too whatever he was against. I think with Kentucky, you make a home run. And I have nothing, but I don't know Mark Pope, so I don't have any there. I didn't hear good things about him. But I do know he would have to get in the loop really, really quick with the guys. Well, I know BYU, you probably ain't got to be in with, like, the AAU guys or the this or that. It's true, you know, because it's a Norman school and stuff. But you're in Kentucky, man. You know, them 4 and 5 stars you're going to need. He's probably got to get more in the loop. And he seemed excited at his press conference and everything. He seemed like a guy that's trying to get, you know, all the ex-players back involved and stuff. So I think he's going to try to hit the ground running. I'm just not sure how impactful it will be right now.
School me real fast, Herb, and we're up against before we get you. I know you got stuff to do, too. But Jasper Johnson, you had mentioned him. Is he out of Kentucky? Remind me.
He's out of much close to Lexington. Yeah.
That's what I thought. And so Mark Pope being able to, whether or not he can keep a player, you know, a five-star like Jasper Johnson in state, when you know, is going to be a big, you know, a test for him, a guy that's literally playing for you on the CYBL circuit. I'm going to be curious to see if he can keep a kid like Jasper Johnson because the state likes to keep them kind of kids in there. They expect to, you know.
That goes so a lot. I'm going to tell you why, because Jasper really had a great North Carolina visit, right? And I think he really, really – he got a few other schools. I think he really liked them. But in some people here, they was like, as much as you like them, I don't see you telling – like for you to leave Cal at home – are you ready to do? And I don't know if it's as tough as to say I'm gonna leave Mark Pro at this point today.
Interesting, Herb. We appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
Yes, you're the man, bro.
Really appreciate your time, man.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Take
care. He is.
That's gonna be big time.
Norton Hurt the fourth. Yeah.
On Jasper Johnson, and whether you know, because he's huge for the class of 2025, and the Hurd's got him. And of course, most thought he's a Kentucky lean with Cal there.
Right.
You know, coming out of Kentucky. Yeah. Get up on Jasper Johnson, bro. That's one that Penny, whew, wish we could have.
Right, for sure.
Less McDonald's All-American type stuff.
All right, we will come back. Got some news on Memphis's basketball schedule. Got a new home at home. I'll tell you who that is when we get back. Jason and John, are you trying to find me? Yes. Tonight, we have some interesting play-in games we'll get to in just a minute. But Memphis and Mississippi State are entering into a home-and-home series starting next year at FedEx Forum. So I don't know if they're replacing Ole Miss or Texas A&M or whoever, right?
Somebody essentially Vandy, Texas A&M, all of them come off. You got to have one on.
So Mississippi State will be the new series in the SEC.
The key there is it starts at home because you're going to Virginia, you're going to Clemson, you're going to UNLV, San Francisco. You've got them at the Chase Center, so you needed some of these to be at home. And so the key in this one is that it will be there. Listen, butts in seats, actual attendance matters right now. You know, Mississippi State will bring a crowd. That's a good It's a team that Lenardi right now has got projected to be in the NCAA tournament. That's a good series in this instance because what they're right now they're competitive, a tournament team, and they'll put butts in seats at the Forum in a year that you need them. So again, you ain't gonna get a lot of attractive right. opportunities in conference. So yeah. In terms of home,
right?
But the home schedule,
yeah.
You needed something like this.
Yeah, you could get some regional too. You know, very possible. Gonna do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Norton Hurd IV for joining us on the show. Thanks to Mark Giannato as well. Gianna and Jeffrey, I'm next on Miss. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.